On the day that Karl Marx died, which was the 14th of March, 1883, his housekeeper came to him and said, "Tell me your last words and I'll write them down." To which Marx replied, "Go on, get out. Last words are for fools who haven't said enough." This is not surprising, coming from the philosopher behind communism. He was a bitter, he was a cynical man, and he died in his bitterness, and he died a very unhappy individual. And yet, last words can be very revealing. Napoleon, we are told, his last words said, "Chief of the army." The great Baptist minister and preacher Charles Spurgeon said, "Jesus died for me." And John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said, "The best of all is God is with us." This morning, we come to the end of what has been a rather long, in between different services with different themes, we come to the end of the life of Joseph. And this is the last chapter in the life of Joseph. And this morning, we are confronted with the dying words of Joseph. But did you notice his last words? Genesis chapter 50, verse 24 says, "And Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob.' And then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, 'Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here.'" So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Such was the death of Joseph. Now, let's face it, my friends, death comes to all of us sooner or later. Sometimes it strikes at a very young age. Other times it strikes when we are young, maybe young adults. Sometimes it strikes when we are very old. Other times it strikes even before we see the light of day. It has no respect, no exceptions. Death is certainly 100% sure. But there is an art to dying well. You may not have heard that before, but there is an art to dying well. The Puritans spoke of dying grace, which is the special help God gives his children as they prepare to cross the final journey, the final river, the final bridge, whatever you want to call it. They're moving on from this life to an eternity with him or not. Now, I suppose all of us are planning to live a long time. But these days, you can never be sure. The untimely accident, or maybe the out-of-control driver, or the drunk driver, or the sudden heart attack, or the unexpected illness. Who knows what will happen next? Any of us could be struck down at any moment. As the words of Scripture reminds us in the book of Ecclesiastes through the words of Solomon in chapter 9, verse 12, man does not know his time. Now, when you see the word man in Scripture, it refers to mankind, both female and male. Man does not know his time. And yet how we prepare for death is crucial and very important. And so today we come to the final moments of Joseph's life. However, in order to set the scene, we need to know one crucial fact. 50 years have passed since Joseph said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good." 50 years have passed since he said those words to his brothers. And during those 50 years is covered in just one sentence. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. One sentence, 50 years. Joseph's final words are recorded in two places. We have Genesis, which we were hearing this morning in our reading. And then we have one verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 22. And from looking at these two passages, we discover how faith shows itself at the end of life. First of all, let us consider this chapter 50, where Joseph is pretty much being recorded as dying. But the summary of that chapter is simply this: God will take you to the promised land. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die." He knew. He knew his days were coming to an end. But God, he said, will visit you and bring you out of this land into the promised land that he has given you. And then further on that chapter, we said, so Joseph died being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Twice Joseph said, "God will visit you." And this is faith at the very end of life, my friends. Though he was old and dying, Joseph saw past Egypt into a distant future. Call Egypt this world for you and me. This is our Egypt. Another Egypt is where Egypt is. We can see it on a map, but trying to see it from a spiritual way. Joseph, Egypt is our world, our life here in Black Hole. He knew that God one day will keep his promise and deliver the Israelites from Egypt and would give them a homeland of their own. And because he believed so firmly in that promise, he instructed the Israelites not to leave his bones in Egypt, but to make sure and carry his bones with them and bury them in the promised land. There was no earthly reason to expect this. From the outside, it appears that the Jews would stay in Egypt forever. And that is how it seemed for many generations. Over time, however, Egypt grew comfortable for them, and the Jews grew wealthy in Egypt. But Joseph looked into the distant future and said, "This is not the end of the story. This is not where I belong. This is not where God wants me to be. I have another place to go, and it is in the future." So whether alive or dead, Joseph knew that Egypt was not home. Was Egypt good for them? Yes, it saved them from destruction. Remember, there was a famine. And if it wasn't for Egypt and the fact that Joseph was there, Jacob and all the family would have died. But was Egypt good for them in the long term? No, if they stay there forever. So how could Joseph be so sure about the future? One simple explanation, my friends. Joseph had faith in God. Now that might sound very simplistic. Faith in God. Is that not what preachers do? They have faith in God, but we are mere mortals. We don't have faith. No. faith in God as a child of God, as a Christian, that you and I are. First, he knew what God had promised his great-grandfather, Abraham, back in Genesis chapter 12. Second, his own life proved that God keeps his promises. Remember, he knew that Israel didn't belong to Egypt, and he didn't want his bones staying there. On the outside, he looked like an Egyptian, but on the inside, he was a true Israelite. He never forgot who he was or where he came from. And the Bible tells us that Moses took the bones with him when the Jews left Egypt in Exodus chapter 13. And years later, Joshua, who took over from Moses, crossed the river. And it went into the promised land. And currently, even today, Joseph is buried at Shechem in the promised land. You go there and you will find a tomb for Joseph. There his bones rest in the dust of the earth to this very day, as we will one day. And so from Genesis 50, we turn now to Hebrews chapter 11, the other reference that we mention Joseph. By faith, Hebrews says, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. Now, we might think it is unusual that the writer of Hebrews should highlight this moment out of all that Joseph experienced. We might see it some other way. Let me give you an example or two. By faith, Joseph, when he was betrayed, did not become bitter. By faith, Joseph, when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife to have sex with her, did not yield to temptation. By faith, Joseph, when he was forgotten in prison, did not turn away from God. If anything, it drew him closer to him. And by faith, Joseph, when he met his brothers, did not seek revenge. When we think of Joseph, my friends, there are things we remember. But God saw his faith shining brighter in his final moments. As great as his past exploits were, he rose to the highest pinnacle of faith just before he closed his eyes and went to be with the Lord. In a sense, he was given a peek behind the curtain, and he saw what others could not see. He knew, all he knew, God would keep his promise. And when he died, he was embalmed and put in a coffin in Egypt so that his bones would be a testimony to the coming generations. His children and grandchildren knew what sort of man he was. His descendants knew where he stood and what he stood for. He knew that Joseph was a man of integrity, a man of faith, a man of love, a man of compassion, a man of energy, a man of faith in every sense of the word. Everyone knew that Joseph was a true man of God. And so he made preparations. I don't belong here. When the day comes when God fulfills his promise, I want my remains to go to that promised land. And so you can almost imagine that coffin having a sticker saying, bound for Canaan. Fragile. Keep this way up. Obviously, I'm reading into it. Of course, it doesn't say that. But it sounds good, doesn't it? Bound for Canaan. Bound for the place that God has given me. Oh, the bones of Joseph testify to coming generations that the people of God did not belong to Egypt. And my friends, can I tell you, we do not belong to this world either. We don't. We are only passing by. Do you hear that? Just a flicker. We don't belong here. We belong with him. And so if you want to do the maths, he was 17 when he was sold to the Midianites and taken to Egypt. He died when he was 110 years old. So how long was he in Egypt? 93 years. Despite the fact that he spent almost a century in Egypt, he never forgot who he was or where he came from. And what Joseph is saying to us is, I may be dying, but I believe that one day God will keep his promises, and I want to be there when it happens. So don't leave me down here in Egypt. Bury me in the promised land. So what does that mean to us today? Well, my friends, nothing of God dies when a man or a woman of God dies. Nothing of God dies when we die. We die, yes, but the promises of God live on. You see, the purposes of God does not rely on whether you fancy being faithful to him or not. Whether you are or not, his purposes will be fulfilled. Trust me, they will. They may bury us, but they don't bury God's promises with us. Your death, my death, cannot nullify God's faithfulness. Our God is the God of the past. Yes. He is the God of the present. Yes. But he is the God of the future. He is the God of the generations to come. You know, my friends, I don't really know what this message may be saying to you, whether it is interesting, informative, or maybe just plain out of context in your life. I don't know. But I want three things that I want you to take away from this sermon this morning. There are three lessons, and I take them all to heart because I preach myself this sermon several times this week before I'm preaching it to you from this pulpit. But the first thing I want you to learn from this is this. The greatest thing you can do in your life is to pass your faith along to your children and grandchildren. That is the greatest thing you can ever do in this life. It is our responsibility. Abraham passed his faith to Isaac. Isaac gave it in turn to Jacob. Jacob gave it to Joseph. And Joseph gave it his faith to the whole nation of Israel. It is a reminder that the Christian faith, it is not a sprint. It is not even a marathon. It's a relay race. And I am but one member of a team that stretches across the generations. You know, if I can be personal, I have a faith because someone gave it to me when I was 19 years of age in the army. And I'm 60 at this point of time. But the faith I have simply is simple because someone gave it to me. Someone shared their life story. Someone shared their faith. Someone said that their faith could help me. And someone gave it to that person who gave it to me before time. On and on the line goes, stretching back 2,000 years. Now I am sure I pass my faith along to my family. I must make sure I pass that faith to my own family. And not only that, I must do all I can to make sure that the faith I pass on to my daughters and son is passed on to my grandchildren in the future. I must not fail here, and neither must you. The baton of faith must be passed on to the next generation. This is the greatest legacy. You may not realize the greatest legacy is not your inheritance. however much you can pass on to them, that doesn't matter. What really matters is passing on the faith that will keep them not only in this life, but far more importantly in the life to come. And as the years quickly pass, I now understand that passing my faith along is the work of a lifetime. It is never finished, no matter how old I get. Oh, Joseph finished well. And I thank God that we have men like Joseph who were able to look at death in the face and says, I have no fear because I know where I belong. But the second lesson for us today is that the saddest thing that can happen is to become bitter at your old age. We have all seen it happen to people we know sometimes, you know. We have seen it happen to people very close to us. As they grow old, they become bitter and angry and filled with resentment because life did not turn out the way they thought it would be. But just think about this for a moment. Abraham had a promise from God, but he never saw it completely fulfilled in his life. Isaac had the same promise, but he died without seeing it fulfilled. Jacob had the same promise, and he died in Egypt. Joseph had the same promise, but died in Egypt too. And therefore, if ever anyone had a right to become bitter, it was these three men, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and even Abraham. They lived and died with the promise unfulfilled, but to their credit, they never gave up the hope or the faith. And the final thing I want to say, yet we have the greatest thing is to pass on our faith. The saddest thing is that we might become bitter and resentful, but the happiest way to live is to realize that God's work is bigger than you are. I may live for 70, 80 years and never see all the dreams that I have in my life. I may pray for things that never will come to pass. I may trust God for things that do not appear. I may struggle against great difficulties for many years. They may be hard, the road may be steep, and the path lonely as often is. I may climb and climb and still never reach the summit of all that I set out to do. I might not be given to me to see everything I would like to see. But one thing it has been given to me, my friends, and it has been given to you. And that is to live faithfully for God day by day. If we fail to do that, we are failing in everything, to our shame. There's a lovely Psalm 100 in verse 5 that says, His faithfulness continues through all generations. You know, I believe that. I am so glad that God's faithfulness transcends the generations. As I say, I am 60 years old, heading for what? 61, I suppose, that's the logical thing. But maybe 65? 66? Retirement age. Will I retire? Will I still be the minister here in Black or St. Columba? Please hold your breath. Will I be 80 or even 90? I might not be here next year. I might not even be here next week. Because God may say, Benjamin, I want you home today. We lost Norma rather tragically just a few weeks ago, remember? Nobody foresaw that coming. We never do. But my friends, the reality is this. As the years roll by, I find myself realizing how much of my life is wrapped up in my three children. Yesterday, they were just little toddlers. Well, they were babies before that. They became toddlers and then little teenagers with all the ups and downs that that brings. They became young adults and they still are some. But now, of course, some of them will become parents. I have already my eldest, who is a mother of four. So I have four grandchildren. And the question really is this: will God still care of them? After I'm gone, what about their children and their grandchildren? Will God still be there for them? And my friends, the answer is a resounding yes. Yes. And that means I don't have to stay alive to ensure that my children will be okay. God will see to that. And what a comfort that is, don't you think? Death cannot, will not exhaust the promises of God. And so, I have so much to tell you. So much I could tell you. But my friends, let me wrap this up with this. The saints of God who have a living faith in Christ and who their lives are totally committed to Christ, to God, have nothing to fear in the moment of death. Though it may not be pleasant or may be painless, though it may come after a long suffering, or maybe will come suddenly, the moment itself, I believe, as the Bible says, will be filled with joy. Because in an instant, our eyes will shut, and right at that very moment, will be absent from the body, but present with the Lord. So my friend, do not go out from this church fearing death. Don't. God is saying to you, if you believe in me and you trust in me, I will take you home. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Bible says, I will fear no evil. You know why? Can someone finish that sentence for me? For thou art with me. That promise is true today, and it'll be true tomorrow, and it'll be true the day that you and I are called home. So have no fear. Trust him. Joseph died well. I hope and pray that we too will die well. Death is the worst that can happen to us, but the best is still to come.